March 16th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from Titus chapter 2 verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. As I said many times, sound speech is the word of your testimony and your preaching. You must speak in a way that nobody can condemn you. Oftentimes, we start out with a wrong belief system, but as we continue to walk with God, He corrects our thinking bit by bit. We don't necessarily tell each other how we are wrong, but God is working in us. For example, yesterday when I was preaching about Jacob, just by studying and preparing for the seminar, I learned so much about how a church should be from these passages. Like Jacob's ladder, where angels are ascending and descending, the story of tithing and why giving one-tenth of our income is important. I learned all that. Your message to others should convict people and teach people, and not like a message that does not make sense. The next verse. Exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The word bond servants is translated as slave in Japanese, but in King James Version it says bond servant, who is a person who serves. So in this society, employees of a company or waiter or waitress or a restaurant, they are the ones who serve. When you think of it as a slave, you feel like you have nothing to do with it. Because we don't have any slavery system anymore. But when you say servant, you can definitely relate to that. It says you should be obedient and as a servant and not answer back. At your workplace, you normally don't talk back to your boss because you're getting paid. When I was working for a computer manufacturer, I saw some people who didn't hesitate to talk back to their superior. I understand that you might need to talk back to your boss when he tells you something impossible, but there are some people who just need to talk back to their boss about anything for everything. And I used to look at those people thinking, wow, they're getting paid nicely just for talking back to your superior. But God does not like that. And as it says in this passage, you should not answer back. Because as we just heard the sister's testimony, we have to represent Christ at home and at your workplace. And as the verse 10 says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Other people need to see you adorn and to decorate the teaching of God in your life. And adoration makes people stand out. Like for example, when you see several females standing with no decoration on their hair, and only one person shows up with some adoration on their hair, she would stand out and makes you wonder if she's someone special. It is the same thing with a spiritual adoration. So at your workplace, we have to act in a way that represents Christ. If you're terrible at everything you do, people would think negatively about Christianity. You saying that you will handle the customer, but you don't want to do the cleaning, that's not good. If your boss wants you to do it, you should do it without arguing. And if we are faithful, people would be touched by your faith. Or when you share your testimony, people would be open to listen to your story. At my previous workplace, I prayed every day that I would have a chance to bring Christ to this place, that I would have a chance to share my testimony. I had some occasion to do so. Once in a while, like at the end of the year party kind of place, people would sit next to me, would hear my testimony. Of course, I did not drink with them at the party, And when I was leaving the company, people organized a farewell party for me. And everyone else there was full-time employees, and I was the only outside contractor. But they threw a party for me, and at that party, I was also able to share my testimony in front of many people. For example, when I had a big problem on Friday, I would pray to God for a solution, and come Monday, I would see the problem would be gone. That kind of thing. If I was not a good employee and if people were dying to see me go, they would not want to hear what I had to say. But I tried to be faithful in everything I did. So people gave their ears to my speech. And some of the problems that I encountered at work were very real to them too. And I told them how I handled those problems with my faith in God. So that was good. From verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." These passages are about the salvation, and it seems that there are those who receive salvation and others who don't. At the verse 11 says, if you're ungodly and get caught up with worldly lusts, you cannot receive salvation. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 3, this is explained a bit more clearly. This is about the end of the world. Knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, and all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So many people are living with unbelief now. When you watch TV or read newspaper or on the internet, not many people seriously believe that there will be a judgment day. And people are saying, where is the promise of the Bible? But continue. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It says in the end time there will be time when moon and the earth will be all scorched and melt away. In verse 10 from 2 Peter chapter 3, by the day of the Lord, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, that manner of persons sought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. I know the Bible contains a lot of parables, but I think this section is plain reality. I know people do not believe that, but to prove to people that God's judgment is real, the flood from Noah's era is mentioned. And there are proofs throughout the world that this flood actually happened. When I went to Niigata Prefecture, there was this mountain which I climbed up, and I found seashells there too on top of the mountain. Such evidence is found throughout the world, which shows that even top of the mountains were once under the water. And the Bible says that the first world was destroyed by water, and the second destruction will be done by fire. And in Noah's era, those who did not believe in God and those who were unrighteous were all destroyed. That's why Peter says it is important to be holy and righteous. It says that the earth was corrupt before God, and all were destroyed besides Noah's family. All 8 of them. Same thing with Lot. All were killed except a few people, since Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Although she escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah, she was turned into a pillar. So the way you walk will determine your fate for salvation or destruction. And for some people who do not walk in holiness, the destruction is nearing them. As the flooding really occurred, we believe the destruction by fire will also occur. That's how we see it. And now going back to Titus, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The Lord went through what he went through to purify his special people, it says. Special people who are zealous for God's work. Even in time of Christ, Jesus had thousands of people following him, but when things got hard, even some of the followers, they turned against him. These are not the special people, but his 12 disciples, like Peter after the Pentecost, they built churches, healed people, converted people, and brought many to Christ with their zealous. God's work will not start from a general public. It does not happen where people already gathered and admiring something. God's work was always done by a few selected people who had zeal for God. So I believe that how many people you have would not really matter, because the work will be done by a few selected people. Our church is not large in size, but I want to focus on our work rather than the number of people who gather. And our work is expanding. And as for the seminars, we just did 33rd seminar. We uploaded the video on YouTube, and we just published newsletters for non-believers, which I thought it was very well written. We have to have a different message for Christians and for non-believers. So the way it came out was great, I thought. But please remember that God's work will be done by selected special people. Even when you read the Bible, Jesus' work or works of the disciples were all about obeying God, pleasing God, and never to please the crowd. And as a result of having 12 disciples with zeal of God, there are now 2 million Christians in the world. So I believe our work should be focused on the special people rather than the crowd, and I believe that's how the Lord's work would become more effective. Verse 15. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. It says you should not be despised, which means that you should have an authority, and having authority is different from being prideful. So it is not easy thing to implement it, but in order to communicate the truth effectively, you need to give the authority to proper people, not only this church, but other church too. Without that, it is difficult to make anything happen. If you think about a school teacher, without the authority, the class is out of control. I think it is the same thing in church. And those who serve in the church also need to keep that in mind.